Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our gospel lesson tonight, the lesson for the 17th Sunday after Trinity, depicts for us who our Lord Jesus is, the one who indeed heals things like dropsy, the one who indeed is the giver of the law, and so the one who truly knows what the law actually means, as opposed to the Pharisees who had come up with all sorts of extra Sabbath laws, none of which keeping actually God's law, but keeping their own, but that's what they were all about, themselves. And so we get this account of this Sabbath feast or this Sabbath meal, and they invite Jesus to be there with them. If you can picture the open courtyard where they are all gathered, people walking by to watch the scene, as people are watching who's at this feast, this meal, this place of priority, this kind of repute, as the ruler of the Pharisees is there. This is his meal. And which were the most prized ones to be invited to this? Which were the greatest guests? And so forth. But not all the eyes are just on the worldly circumstances. There are eyes, it says, watching Jesus carefully. If only these were the eyes of faith, looking at Jesus as true God, as looking at the one who indeed does justify, who does redeem. But no, these are the eyes of ones who would accuse God. The ones who were seeking to trap Jesus. To trap him in violating the Sabbath laws that they had come to make for themselves in order to build themselves up, make themselves righteous. But Jesus sees through their trap. The man with dropsy is before him. He asks the question which quiets all of their accusing eyes down. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? They remained silent. It is our Lord's glory that through his word he can shut the mouths of the scoffers, the accusers. So he does what is right. He does the fulfillment of the whole law, and he loves the man with dropsy. He heals him of his disease, and he sends him on his way. Our Lord fulfills the law, as it's truly intended to be, the law of love, love for the neighbor and love for God. And then he asks them, which of you, having an ox, a very important work animal, or a son, if they fell into a well, how many of you would just tell that son or that ox, just wait for another day, I'll come get you tomorrow? Or would they rescue the ones in the well, even on a Sabbath? And they were not able to reply, to answer Jesus' question. He had stopped their mouths, as the Lord can do. Then the occasion for this parable comes. He notices how they are all trying to take the seats for this dinner, for this meal. And he notices, of course, the prize seats. There are located seats, which are the best seats. And that's the seats that everyone is striving to get into. And he uses the text from Proverbs 25 tonight that we heard about, do not sit up high in front of kings or nobles and have to be forced to be put lower for the shame and so forth. He uses that to teach this parable. But it's in all parables, he's not teaching worldly wisdom here. Worldly wisdom would have you doing exactly as the Pharisees do. Fighting with one another, jockeying for the best spots, looking at the threat that might be there in front of you, as Jesus was to the Pharisees, becoming more popular than they were and so forth, looking at that threat, seeing to figure out if there's a way you could take that threat lower and to discredit him or shame him or whatever, the ways of the world. But it is not that in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, which is the purpose of parables, is to teach the kingdom of God. It is not like this world because it's not of this world. And so Jesus teaches that in the kingdom of God, the ones who want to exalt themselves will be struck low. Indeed, they'll be struck so low they'll be kicked out. but the ones who humble themselves. The ones who embrace the teachings of Jesus, which will certainly not make you popular, will certainly not make you wanted to be in a bunch of different people's company. If you embrace those in the humility they mean, our Lord will exalt and raise up at the last. So he says this parable, revealing the things of the kingdom of God. His first signal, of course, is that this parable is not just about a Sabbath meal. It's about a wedding feast. The wedding feast is often used by Jesus as an example of what happens at the end of time, as all Christians are gathered together to celebrate all that our God has done in Jesus. That it is indeed the groom, Jesus, and the bridegroom, and the bride, the church, as they are united at the last. A great feast, a great festivity, and there it will be that the humble will be exalted. And those who live their lives full of pride will be humbled, cast out. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And this, of course, is the message of the epistle lesson tonight, our St. Paul the Apostle. He teaches the church that you are to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That our Lord Jesus Christ has made sure to send his Holy Spirit. That you have been called and you have been gathered. You have been enlightened by the gospel. You have been brought into the church of Christ. And he did that through baptism for you. And in that calling you have as being a baptized child of God, you have a way to walk. Not in the haughtiness and accusations and one-upsmanship of the Pharisees, but in the humility of someone who doesn't need all the reward here and now, who doesn't need the accolades and glory of men here and now, the one who cherishes what our Lord Jesus Christ will say then and there, with well done, my good and faithful servant. That this is what St. Paul tells us as we will walk in a manner worthy of which we've been called, and he tells us how that is, with all humility. Not demanding rights, not demanding attention, but with humility, thinking of others before yourself, and especially not only that, but not despising those who might be worse off than yourself. That also gentleness, meekness, not striving to get back at those who wrong you, but bearing with them. And with patience, it says. And this patience is not just waiting on something. This patience is indeed a patience that says, I will not take vengeance on this situation myself, for vengeance belongs to God. God will have his day when he has it. That is patience. Bearing with one another in love. That implied when St. Paul says this, bearing with one another in love means your fellow Christians are going to be a burden because you will have to bear with them. In what? In love. Not selfish love, not the love that this world can produce, no. The kind of love that only God produces, a selfless love. Eager, he says, to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Not some kind of earthly peace, but the peace which God creates through the power of his word, through the power of his gospel, a peace that is established between God and man himself by the blood of Christ, and the unity of the Spirit who enlightens us with his gospel, teaches us through his word, unites us in that one true faith with Christ and all his church. this is the work of God for us. And that is, of course, the point of St. Paul referencing the Spirit here, is that this is not our concoction, but it is God's work for us. The story never changes. God is the one who creates us. God is the one who saves us. And God is the one who sanctifies us, makes us holy. And our Lord Jesus Christ goes first. For there's no one who has humbled himself more than our Lord, who, though he himself is true God, humbled himself to take on a servant's form, flesh and blood, suffering, taking on death, the very curse of sin, which he did not have, that he humbled himself to death, and even more than that, even death upon a cross, a cursed death. That our Lord goes first, humbling himself, and then, of course, the glory of our Lord Jesus being exalted, that he's raised from the dead, that what he said was absolutely true, that he now lives and reigns at the right hand of the Father over all things as our ascended Lord, exalted. And that at the last, when he returns, no one will miss it, but all the earth will notice, even the dead, because they will rise. And all will give glory to Christ. And he will take his own to him, and he will send those who preferred to live by the ways of this world, in all the competition, in all the striving, in all the one-upping, those who preferred to live in unbelief will be cast into darkness. But even in that, they will exalt our Lord Jesus, for they will fully acknowledge that he is Lord, he is Christ, he is God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.